Listen, I want to share a message with you. This message has always been very special to me as far as what it's about. We're going to stay with pursuing God. Brother Keith stayed with it when he shared here a while back. And of course, Pastor Jeff has done the very same thing. And they asked me to do that. And the first thing that came to me was knowing God. When you get to know God, guess what you're going to do? You're going to begin to pursue God. And there's some things about this that I feel like I'm in a glory cloud right now. It's almost hard for me to talk because of the presence and the power of God. And that's what the music does. It prepares us for what we can receive in the preaching of the word. But the scripture came to me, and I want you to turn to Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10. This scripture has been very precious and special to me for many, many years. I think I could date it all the way back to when I first started pastoring here at Bethel. Listen, we only had 19 people when we started. But certainly we grew much bigger than that through the years. But it wasn't because of my charisma. I don't think I have any. But it's because of the power of God. And Him magnifying Himself in our lives and the moving of the Holy Spirit is the most wonderful thing in all the world. And you know, God's not changed. He still wants to move in our hearts and lives beyond anything that we could ever imagine. And we were singing those songs that, concerning God and that God can do anything. And I believe that He can. And God showed me that very early in my ministry. But I can tell you there's many of the patriarchs in the Old Testament and also the New Testament, Paul being one of them, that played a major part in my life as God was dealing with me concerning being a pastor. But then I learned that it's more than just for pastors, it's for everyone. Amen? The journey that I've been on, I can say, has been one of the greatest journeys that anyone could be on. And I've heard other pastors say that too, because as a pastor, you feel the responsibility to getting into a depth of God's Word that certainly is going to be beyond the congregation, but we're here to feed the flock. What you do with it when you get it is going to be between you and God. You can receive it or you cannot receive it. But the Apostle Paul, whenever I studied the life and the history of him, it was a tremendous blessing to me. I mean, he wrote most of the old of the New Testament. I think there was 13 epistles that he wrote. All of them are very special. And they speak not only to the churches that he wrote to, but it speaks to us as well. But here's what Philippians 3:10 says. Here's what Paul said. He said, I want to know him. I want to know him. That's what he said. I want to know him and the power of his resurrection. And then he went on to say, and even the fellowship of his suffering. Now I'm going to qualify that here in a little bit. Being made conformable unto his death. Now the suffering was not sickness, disease, and all of that. The Apostle Paul was saying, I'm willing to even suffer the death that Jesus suffered to know him. To know him. To know him. And the power of his resurrection. In Romans 8:11, it says, the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead shall quicken your mortal body, shall make you alive. When we come to a service like this and the power of God is moving the way that it's moving, I mean, God is here. He's ready to do something in the hearts and lives of the people that are here. Hey, guess what? God wants to do something in your life. And He wants to do something unimaginable, bigger than you could ever imagine. And often we come to church on Sunday, we're happy if we come and we hear the message, and then we go home and we say, well, that was all good and whatever. No, God wants to get a hold of your life. He wants you to get to know Him like you've never known Him before. And listen, I was only like 26 years of age when, I know I don't look as old as I am. 26 years of age, I believe, whenever I started the church here. And I had grown with such a tremendous hunger for God. I mean, I can't say I'm any different than anyone else, but just a tremendous hunger for God. And I didn't know what I know today, but I can tell you this, God will do for you what you can't do. And so I began to pray. I was Spirit-filled, baptized in the Holy Spirit when I was 15, prayed in the Spirit and whatever. And so as I began to pray and just search God, I said, God, I want to know you. My first year of ministry was the most miserable time of my life because I was doing nothing but just preparing messages. And it was like I really didn't care what it had in there as long as it was good. And it seemed like every message was just a message about salvation. Nothing wrong with that. But everyone in my church was saved. And so they began to come to me and said, and this is what they said. They said, listen, are there some other things on Sunday morning that maybe we could hear? And I wasn't offended by that. I definitely was. I went to God and I said, God, like the Apostle Paul, I want to know you and the power of your resurrection. When I get up on Sunday, I want the anointing upon my life. I don't want to just give a message. And it was like God with an audible voice. He spoke to me and he said, I want you to quit preparing messages and prepare you. I didn't even know how to really prepare me. I read the Bible every day and whatever. But the main part of that God was saying to me, I want you to get to know me. And I thought, okay, well, I'll get to know you. How am I going to get to know you? You get in my word. Don't just read what you're going to preach on Sunday. He said, I want you to get in my word, and I want you to begin to see what I have to say, because the way we get to know God and we become in fellowship with him is that we read the word about God. So I began to read everything in the word. I started with Genesis, and I went through, and I read through the Old Testament, the New Testament, and things that became tremendous interest to me was all the icons or the patriarchs in the Old Testament and the New Testament. And I begin to think, you know, here we are today. We've got the full revelation of God. Old and New Testament. And yet we find it hard to trust God. We find it hard to listen to God. So God began to deal with me on all of these different things. And so anything I would come across, and whenever I came across, and I already knew this, it had been preached, but I didn't even register to me that God is omniscient. He's all-knowing. And I thought, then God knows everything about me. He knows all the decisions I've made and the ones I'm going to make in the future. And it brought me to a place I want to make good decisions. And then I read he's omnipotent. He's all-powerful. In Isaiah, I believe it's in, I'm pretty sure it's in Isaiah where it says, limit not the Holy One of Israel. And I thought, okay, I'm going to take limits off God. Because I can tell you, most Christians today, and I can tell you whether they really know God or not by the limits they put on God. Now listen to me. They put limits on God. Well, I know God can do it, but I don't know if he can do it for me. Listen, if he'll do it for me, he can do it for you. And I had to come to a place that revelation got on the inside of me before I could really move in that direction. So God began to direct me in other areas. I mean, those of you that know me, I wrote a book on a journey through the Bible. It's 300 and some pages. It starts at Genesis and goes all the way through to Revelation. And I've taught that for years. But I learned that by doing what? By getting in the Word of God. And I found things and I thought, dear me, I didn't know that. I read all through the Bible and I still didn't see that. But that time I began to see what God had in his word and it belonged to me. And then when I read about the patriarchs, you talk about being blessed. I got hung up on the fifth chapter of Genesis concerning Enoch. He never died. He's in heaven today in a physical body. Now, I can't explain that, but that's where he's at. The Bible says he walked with God, and God began to show me that early as I was asking God about this. Enoch walked with God and knew not, that is, he knew not death, and God took him. I thought, man, that's the kind of walk I want. Well, I don't want to go right now, but nonetheless, that's the kind of walk I want, from the standpoint that you get to know God so much, you want to go and you want to be with Him. So I begin to think along those lines and whatever, that any walk with God, that's an answer to getting to know God, to walking with Him. Listen, there's something I've done, and I told you this before, but I tell it to my class all the time, my Sunday school class, that when you get up in the morning, your thoughts ought to be on God. And it is with me, on God, that He's on the inside of me. If I have a good day, it's not going to be because of me. It's going to be because I'm going to listen to God. And then when I go to bed at night, when I went to bed at night, it's the most beautiful thing when you go to bed at night. Now, my wife, she goes to bed early. I stay up. You can ask any of my kids. I stay up till 12 o'clock almost every night. And I get up at 5 or 5:30. And I've never required any more sleep than that. But that's been my life. When I wake up at 5 or 5:30, guess what's happening? Not just up here, but in here. God begins to talk to me. And you say, well, He talks to you, but He'll talk to you if you'll listen to Him. You're going to have to tune into the right station, folks. When you tune into the right station, all of a sudden things begin to happen in your life. And so God began to speak to me. But listen, God used other people too that would ask me questions. And I thought, I'm going to answer this, but it doesn't mean it was going to be the right answer. But you know what it drove me to do? It drove me to get into the Word of God. Amen. I wanted to know these things from Genesis to Revelation. That's why I wrote the book. It covers all the dispensations and whatever, and it covers the book of Daniel, scripture by scripture. It covers, and it's not for sale, okay? I give them away. And it also covers the book of Revelation, scripture by scripture, with the commentary and whatever. I wanted to know everything. Now, is there any problem with that? If everyone just said, God, I want to know everything I can know about You, it gave me a boldness. It gave me a deeper appreciation of who God was, that God's bigger than anything that you could ever imagine. And God wants to be that big in your life. We sing about it, but He wants us to live it as well. I hear a lot of people, they say, well, I mean, I know God. Really, they don't know God. They just know of God. Oh, I know that He can heal. I know He can do this. I know all the different things. He can bring miracles and all that. I know all that, but really they just know of Him. But they say, I don't know, I'd have a hard time believing that. They know of Him. When you know Him, you know what He's going to do. Amen? You're going to go to prayer with confidence that when you pray and you know you prayed according to the will of God, you know that God's going to answer. It may not be overnight. It may be down the line, however far. That's between you and God. But God will bring the answer. Amen? That's how big God is. And so God, I'm just telling you, God's that big to me. I mean, He really is. I've gone through lots of things not like the Apostle Paul. I mean, when you look at the Apostle Paul, I just jotted this down. When it talks about the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death, 5 times he was beaten with 40 stripes, save one, 3 times with rods, he was stoned 1 time, 3 times shipwrecked, and then it begins to go into all the different perils and whatever. He was willing to do that just to know God. Think about that. What are you willing to go through just to know God? I heard Pastor Jeff mention about K.C. George this last week, and I've really been praying about that too, because he's our missionary to India, and now I've got an echo up here, and now they're paying people to find Christians and turn them into the authorities, and they'll probably be killed if that happens, or put in jail or prison or whatever. Now, we live in a world today, in a country today, that we're really blessed. I mean, our First Amendment rights and whatever hadn't been taken away from us or whatever. Devil may be working on that, but nonetheless, I mean, we can come to church and we can have what we had this morning. We can praise God, we can worship God, all the things that we do, and we can do it without without saying, we're going to suffer for this. The Apostle Paul, he was willing to suffer, put in jail, put in prison, all the different perils that he had to face and whatever. And he said, I still want to know God. I want to know the power of his resurrection. I want to know what he can do in my life. And that's not being selfish. He just wanted to be everything that God wanted him to be. And then I think of some of the patriarchs. One of my favorite too has been Abraham. The story of Abraham. Listen, I want you to know Abraham made a lot of mistakes. How many know that? I mean, stop and think, what if God came to you and said, I know you're 75 years of age, but I want you to leave all your family and take your wife with you. And at 75, you guys are going to have a baby. Well, first of all, you'd have to resurrect your wife. You know, she would be so upset about it. And I think about all of these sayings that we see in the Bible and how unbelievable it would be to us to even think about that. And yet again, with all the mistakes that Abraham made, the Bible says in Romans, the 4th chapter, in verse 18 through 21, he said, against hope, he said, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so that thy seed be, and being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body to be dead. Listen to this. When he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb, but he staggered. Now listen, here's the key. He staggered no more at the promises of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God and being fully persuaded that what God said he would do. Amen. How many believe that? So when I read that, you know what it tells me? My God can do anything. He's a miracle-working God. You read about even John. I mean, he wrote the book of John and the 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, whatever. Here's a person that wanted to know God as well. Paul wanted to know God, the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering. I mean, I think about all of that, and here we're so privileged here upon earth in America to enjoy what we do, and yet again, we find every reason in the world that we can't spend time with God. Think about it. I want to spend time with God. I even thought, well, if they put me in prison, just think of all the time you could spend with God. Now, I know you're not thinking that way, but I am. I thought, boy, I could, no interruptions at all. If I want to eat, I can go eat. If I don't want to, now I don't go tell someone I want to go to jail, because that's not where I want to go. But I'm just saying that the Apostle Paul had such a wonderful outlook on life with everything that he faced in life. And I think of another patriarch, Elijah. I love the story of Elijah. The fact that, I mean, God used him. There's no way in the world that Elijah didn't know God to be able to do all that he did. 16 miracles that he did. 16. And the one that stands out the most to me is the one that's found in 1 Kings 18. And that's whenever the prophets of Baal and of Jezebel, a total of 850 of them, they challenged him. And so he challenged them. He said, okay, you go build your altar and you holler and pray to your God and whatever, and do a sacrifice to your God and see if fire will come down from heaven and just and devour the sacrifice. And then he told the people, he said, if my God be God, we'll serve him, but if not, you serve the other. And here's the thing that blessed me so much, because sometimes we think we got to pray long, long prayers. It's not long prayers. It's the simple prayer of faith. And he prayed a very simple prayer, 63 words. The prophets of Baal had done everything that they could do to bring fire down from heaven, and nothing happened. They even began to cut their bodies and whatever because they was mad at their God. And he prays a prayer. He builds the altar just the way that, for there'd be no question whatsoever. Even dug ditches around it and put water in the ditches and on the sacrifice. After 63 words, fire came down from heaven. Consumed not only the sacrifice, but licked up all the water in the ditches and whatever. And Israel turned to God and said, "The Lord, He be God." Amen. See, that's our responsibility today. We've got to be pointing people to God. There's people that don't believe God like they ought to believe in God. They believe there is a God. No doubt they believe there is a God. They believe that, you know, that God can do miracles and wonderful things. It's a fact they don't know Him. They just know of Him. When you get to know God, I mean, really get to know God, I mean, things change in your life. I can't explain it, and I don't expect everyone to just act on exactly what I'm saying, but I'm just telling you, the Word works. And so God began to deal with me with all these things, and so I began to put messages together. I mean, you name it, I just wanted to put messages together. I'm at the authority of the believer, divine healing, faith, the gifts of the Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I mean, you know all the things that I've preached here and whatever. And I wanted to know everything I could know about God. But I knew I was going to have to study to show myself approved unto God before I could rightly divide the Word of God. But whenever you begin to just study the Word and read it, you know, in all of these patriarchs, the things that they did, even like Elisha, I mean, he told before Elijah left, he said, because he was caught up with a fiery chariot came and a whirlwind and lifted him up, and he's in heaven today. Him and Enoch, I believe, will be the two witnesses that'll be in the tribulation. That's why I'm so interested in Revelation all the time and teaching. That didn't cost you anything. But whenever he got ready to go in the whirlwind, he asked Elisha, "What would you like for me to do for you?" And he said, "Well, I'm not asking too much. I just want a double portion of what you have." And here's the blessing in this whole thing. I just want a double portion of what you got. And we know that Elijah did 16 miracles. Guess how many miracles that Elisha did? 32. He should have asked for a triple blessing. Sometimes we don't ask God enough. And the first miracle, whenever Elijah left, he threw his mantle down or his cape or whatever. And so Elisha picks it up. And first thing he does is he does what Elijah did. He smites the waters of the Jordan. And guess what happened? The waters rolled back and he walked across. How could we not believe and love of God and love a God as the God that we have and is willing to do for us the very things He said He would do? You know, I spent a lot of time, at least 1 year after God spoke to me and said, "Quit preparing messages and prepare yourself." I thought, I want to see what Jesus preached. I want to see what Jesus did. Is there anything wrong with that? I want to get to know the ministry of Jesus. I'd read this many, many times. And Luke, the 4th chapter, verse 18, he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." Well, that puts chills all down me. "For He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, to the brokenhearted, to the blind, and those that are held captive." And you study the ministry of Jesus, and guess what? That's what He did. I know He came to die for us. I know that was His main purpose, but He was setting a platform for you and I. For the purpose of ministry, you can read Matthew, the 28th chapter, and verses 18 through 20, I believe is where it's at. Where He said, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit." And then you see in John 14:12, now listen to this. He said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, if you believe in me," how many of you really believe in God? "If you believe in me and the works that I have done, you can do these works also, and greater works than these can you do." I've asked people, "Do you believe that?" "No. I haven't had a miracle in my life, and I haven't had faith enough to have one." God said we could have it. So I'm not exaggerating. I spent numerous hours. I wanted to find out all the promises of God. They're bigger than you could ever imagine. And so as I began to go through that, I thought, I didn't know that. You know, the Bible says that He's blessed us with all spiritual blessings. He's blessed us already with all spiritual blessings. They belong to us. And the answer to it is yea and amen. It's not no, it's yea and amen. If God's given us something, it's already been given. If God gave it to me, I can have it. If you don't believe that, that's between you and God. But I'm saying for 50 years, it's worked for me. Amen. We're going to have to focus in on God. I know that's what Pastor wants, us to focus in on God. When you get to know God, and the more you get to know Him, the more you're going to pursue Him. I'm thinking, I got up this morning and thinking, do you know that I could live to be 100 pursuing God, getting to know God more every day, and yet I still don't know everything about God that I could learn? Think about that. I got to hurry. What about David? I mean, you know when David fought Goliath, the commentators and whatever they, and those that have searched this, and I did too. I mean, he had to be under 16 years of age when he faced Goliath. If you back up and do, you have to go backwards as far as you know, when he became king and how old he was and whatever, back to when this event took place. But many believe he was anywhere from 13 to 15 years of age. I checked it out again, just 13 to 16 years of age, or 15 years of age. Now stop and think. He faced one of the biggest mountains that anyone could ever face, Goliath. Now you stop and think about that. I mean, his brothers even scolded him. You know, when God gets a hold of you and tells you something, you know what I was told when I started the church here 50 years ago? I was told it isn't going to work. You don't have any experience. Well, I knew that. They didn't have to tell me that, but I knew God. It's just not going to work. Churches, independent churches, they just don't go. Their church didn't go, but ours did. Amen. And I believe it's going to keep going. They'll try to discourage you. And the brothers tried to discourage David. I mean, you're just a lad. It just says, it says a boy or a lad or whatever, which means he had to be really young. And so here's the key to this whole thing that taught me a lot. Whenever he saw the giant that came out and was cursing Israel, send forth your man of war and we'll fight. And whoever wins is going to be not only the victor, but you're going to serve the one that wins. And so when he came out, Goliath came out, he's doing the curses and cursing and whatever he did, talking to Israel. Here's what David saw. Now listen to this. David was a spiritually minded person. I know he made a lot of mistakes too. But here's what blessed me. He said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? That man, here's a man without a covenant. But guess what? David had a covenant. And so I always looked at Goliath as being like a mountain in front of you. You know, God's bigger than all the mountains that would ever be there. It may be never a literal mountain, but I think you can use it in the figurative sense that anything is coming against you that would be like a Goliath, someone that's wanting to defeat you, or something that's wanting to defeat you or take your life or whatever. I'm just simply telling you, God's bigger than that. But we're going to have to believe that. Can God fill these pews? Yeah, He can come home, He can come down and force people to come. But He's given us that responsibility. Amen? And it's not all on the pastor. Listen to me. Sheep bear sheep. Amen? Now, it is our responsibility as leaders to preach the word and do all that. I understand all that. But listen, I've been into churches that were dead churches that were full. You know why? Because people invited them to come. Amen. Whenever you see God to be as big as what God is, all of a sudden you're going to say, I want to get everyone in that I can. Even if you're the one that has to preach to them or whatever, and you're going to be blessed because you see them walking the aisle and give their heart and life to the Lord, and then they begin to grow, and then you begin to disciple them, and then not only disciple them, but then they become workers in the church. Amen. And begin to reach out and do the very same thing. That's what church is all about. It's not that we just come and sit and listen and that's it. There's giants that's out there. Well, you know the story. David killed the giant. And the king, King Saul, wanted to put his armor on him. He didn't need King Saul's armor. He took it off. He said, all I need to do is just know I'm going to go in the name of the Lord. And he didn't run from the giant. He ran towards the giant. You need to start running towards your problems instead of hiding. There used to be an old saying that an ostrich would stick its head in the sand, and if it couldn't see anything around him, he believed it didn't exist. I think that's the way a lot of people are. If I just hide from it, it's going to go away. Not going to go away. You're going to have to do something about it. And David did. And then from there, we can go to Peter. We can go to the New Testament. And go to Peter. He goes to the gate called Beautiful, silver and gold. I mean, when the Holy Ghost fell on the 120, I tell you, everything changed in their life. That's why it's so important. I know there's a lot of denominations at one time. Listen, they're more open to the baptism of the Holy Spirit with evidence speaking in tongues and the working of miracles and the gifts of the Spirit and whatever. They're more open to a lot of that in a lot of the churches today. But I'm just saying that whenever Peter, being filled with the Holy Ghost, there was a lot of things he did know. I mean, just a few days earlier, he had said he didn't even know Jesus. Amen. Denied him 3 times. But now when the Holy Ghost got a hold of him, and that's my message, when the Holy Ghost gets a hold of you and you get in this word and you begin to read it, I get happy at home. Amen. And begin to read it, and then I know that there's an application that I can make. And I begin to get it down deep in my heart and whatever. I mean, I want to run with it. Amen. And everything that I've been through in this life, I found scriptures that would help me. Even 91st Psalms. And I'm not telling you the story, but when I was diagnosed early in my ministry, 1974, we started the church in 70, December 71, 72. So in 2 years, they diagnosed me with a heart condition. I talked with God. I said, God, there's no way that you'd call me into the ministry and then I have to leave after 2 years. Amen. I knew that God was bigger than that. Amen. And God was. This is 48 years later and I'm still going. I'm still ticking, folks. I always appreciate the opportunity to share the word. But Peter, when he was baptized in the Holy Spirit, everything changed. The fullness of the Spirit in his life brought life to him. When he went to Samaria, he went there to introduce the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Then he went to Cornelius' house. And you know, he kind of reiterates that. It's kind of like, well, all I know is that a sheet came down with all kinds of beast on it and whatever, and some of them were unclean or common, and God said, don't call that unclean that I've called clean, and which had opened the door to the Gentiles. How many know that? Opened the door to the Gentiles. And so while he's speaking, he goes to Cornelius' house. Don't have time to get in the whole story, but he goes to Cornelius' house, and the Bible says, while he yet spoke, the Holy Ghost came on them, the fullness of the Holy Ghost, and they begin to speak with tongues and magnify God. This week, I prayed a lot in the Spirit. Some of you may not even know what the baptism of the Holy Spirit is, but if you ever get it, I'll tell you what, the life will be different. And I caught myself at night and morning, anytime, just praying in the Spirit. Oh, it's a wonderful thing. It empowers me because the Holy Ghost is in there. That's what you got to realize. You're not going to do what you're going to do alone. The Holy Ghost is there. There may be people watching this and say, that guy's crazy. No, it's the Holy Ghost. What you do, you're going to do through the power of the Holy Ghost. Listen, you couldn't heal a fly, but God can using you as a vessel. Amen. Here's what John says. In John 7, 37, 38, and I'm going to close with this. He said, in the last days, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Listen, that's what was happening to you this morning. Amen? That's what was happening to you this morning. It's speaking of the Holy Spirit. I know that. But that's what will happen to you. You'll get in your prayer closet at home. You begin to pray and seek God. And all of a sudden, the Holy Ghost will get a hold of you. The Holy Ghost needs to get a hold of us. I can see you're really excited about that. Holy Ghost gets a hold of you. It's life changing. There may be people here today that's not saved and born again. You know, Jesus loves you. He died for you. He wants to save you. He wants to clean your life up. He wants to do things in you that's unimaginable. Who would have ever thought that Saul of Tarsus would become the Apostle Paul? His whole idea is find those that are Christians, bring them to trial, and either be killed or put in prison. God changed it all. God will change a lot of things in you when you put your faith and your trust in Him. Amen. Come on, stand with me this morning.